that was like actually doing holistic good all around, and there was no money at all, not one penny being siphoned from anyone who has less than, you know, $10 million in their pocket to people who have more than that in their pocket.
Yep.
If not one penny was being moved from everyone else to the top 0.1%, I would be a lot more open to that.
Right on.
And that's just not what happens with any of these kinds of projects, from from the designers to the art and the architects to the contracting firms.
Sure.
That subcontract.
Gosh.
You know.
Josh, you know what? I apologize for interrupting, but I've got 20 seconds to be able to cut off the show.
Go.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate your opinion very much.
Okay.
Other callers, I know I have one or two other people that were online. I apologize. We'll catch you next week. We'll be here next Wednesday morning. You've been listening to Moses Ross, Sherry Morish at PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We'll see you next Wednesday, and thank you.
On KBOO, KBOO.FM or 90.7 FM in Portland. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, everybody who called. This was a record.
Good show.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on April 22nd at 10 a.m. for Rockin' Out with DJ Fluorite, a part of KBOO's special Earth Day programming. This program is dedicated to geology in honor of Earth Day, so tune in to learn about rocks while listening to rock. You won't want to miss it. That's Rockin' Out with DJ Fluorite on April 22nd at 10 a.m., only on KBOO.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining me.
On this show, we are embracing personal responsibility to shape our futures as we manifest our destiny. Have you ever paused to consider the role you play in crafting your own life story? It's a compelling notion that the outcome we experience, both triumphs and setbacks, are not merely products of chance, but reflections of our own intentions and actions. This perspective invites us to delve into the profound connection between our thoughts, behaviors, and the realities we encounter. In this episode, we're embarking on the enlightening journey to explore the concept of that which we manifest is before us. We'll unravel how our conscious and unconscious choices shape our destinies, and how embracing personal responsibility can empower us to steer our lives toward fulfillment and purpose. This isn't about casting shadows of blame, but about illuminating the paths of possibility that open up when we acknowledge our role as architects of our own fate. Let's kick things off by getting on the same page about what we're really talking about when we say that which we manifest is before us. Sounds poetic, maybe even mystical, right? But it's actually a lot more practical and empowering than it might seem at first glance. Manifestation is the idea that the thoughts we think, the intentions we set, and the beliefs we hold have powerful influence over the reality we experience. It's not just about wishing for something and hoping it appears out of thin air. It's about recognizing the role our mindset, choices, and focus play in shaping our path. It's like planting seeds in a garden. The quality of your thoughts determines what grows, and your effort is what brings it to life. Now, let's pair that with the personal responsibility, the idea that we are not just passive observers of our lives, but active participants. This doesn't mean blaming ourselves for every hiccup or hardship. Life happens, and some things are out of our control. But when we step back and really look at our habits, our self-talk, our patterns, what we believe about what we're capable of, we often find that we've played a bigger role in our outcomes than we realized. Here's where it gets really interesting. We're always manifesting, whether we know it or not, through action or inaction, through clarity or confusion. If you've ever said, "I knew this was going to happen," good or bad, chances are that thought planted a seed. And when we're not clear about what we want, or when we let fear or limiting beliefs steer the wheel, we can manifest outcomes that don't serve us. Outcomes that feel like they just happened to us, when really, we helped create the conditions. So no, this isn't about magical thinking. It's about mindful thinking. It's about checking in with yourself and asking, what am I putting out into the world through my energy, choices, and beliefs? Because more often than not, that's exactly what shows up in front of you. Let's get personal, because manifestation isn't just some abstract idea floating in the spiritual clouds. It's grounded in our everyday decisions, thoughts, and feelings. Whether we're consciously aware of it or not, we're constantly sending out signals through our words, our mindset, our energy, and those signals shape our experience. So let's do a little self-inventory. No need for a journal. Just take a deep breath, get quiet for a moment, and follow along with these reflection questions. Be honest, be curious. No judgment here, just awareness. Number one, what's an area of your life that feels stuck or unfulfilling right now? Is it your career? Could it be your relationships? Maybe it's your confidence. Whatever pops into your head first, go with that. Number two, what story are you telling yourself about that area? Are you thinking, "This is just how it is. Nothing ever works for me." Or, "It's too late to change." Or are you telling yourself, "I'm in transition. I'm figuring it out." Or, "I'm ready to make a shift." Because those thoughts, those stories are your blueprints. What you tell yourself sets the tone for how you show up. Number three, how do your daily actions reflect or contradict what you say you want? For instance, if you say you want more confidence, are you putting yourself in situations that challenge you to grow? If you want a more peaceful life, are you setting boundaries, or are you saying yes to things that drain you? Number four, are you focusing more on what you want or on what you're afraid of? Sometimes we think we're manifesting goals, but really we're pouring energy into avoiding failure, rejection, or even discomfort. Fear-based thoughts are powerful, and they often steer us off course without us even realizing it. Number five. What would you change if you believed just for today that you had the power to create something different? Seriously, just for today. If you fully believed that your thoughts, words, and choices could shape your future, what would you do differently? Here's the point of this reflection. You don't have to be perfect to manifest a better life. You just have to be present. You have to get honest about what you're thinking, believing, and practicing each day. And you have to decide what you're done unconsciously creating and what you're ready to start intentionally building. To gain further insight, let's hear from Dr. Tiki Davis on what is manifestation, science-based ways to manifest, from Psychology Today. She delves into the scientific underpinnings of manifestation, discussing how our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs can translate into tangible realities. Manifestation has become popular thanks to the book The Secret and the Law of Attraction. Unfortunately, most psychological scientists will tell you that these books are based on pseudoscience. They claim to be scientific and factual, but they're not actually based on scientific evidence. Dr. Davis said, "So as a psychological scientist, I can't, in good conscience, recommend these books. However, I feel like many psychologists throw out the baby with the bathwater when it comes to the idea of manifestation. They'll often say it's junk science, but I say, of course we can manifest positive things in our lives. If we couldn't, then what would be the point of therapy, wellness interventions, or any of the tools we use to help people?" So what does the science actually say about manifestation? How can we take a goal or idea we have in our heads and make it real? There actually is science behind the idea of manifestation, that is, turning an idea into a real thing. Here are some areas of research and how they lend support to manifestation. A growth mindset can help you manifest your dreams and reach your goals. Research by Dr. Carol Dweck clearly shows that believing you can do something makes it more likely that you'll successfully do it. That means that our beliefs about our ability to learn, grow, and succeed, our growth mindset, can indeed affect whether we effectively manifest what we desire. Importantly, this research suggests that if we truly believe we can achieve something, we're willing to do the hard work to achieve it. This is in contrast to the law of attraction style manifestation, which suggests that belief alone is enough to bring about manifestation. Ultimately, the science suggests that our beliefs bring about behaviors and responses from others that lead to the outcome we desire. Research shows that our expectations, positive or negative, tend to be confirmed. This is what is known as self-fulfilling prophecy. So if we expect to bring our idea to life or to reach our goal, we're more likely to. For example, if you don't think you can succeed in some goal, let's say getting your dream job, you'll set in motion events that will actually make it more likely that you won't get your dream job. Maybe you'll be cold or grumpy during a job interview. Maybe you'll engage in negative self-talk with someone who could help you. Or maybe you'll just feel angry and not spend the necessary time required to reach your goal. Your beliefs set in motion circumstances that affect your ability to manifest an outcome. Negativity bias may explain perceptions about manifestation. Research shows that if we're already feeling bad, we're more likely to interpret neutral circumstances in a negative way. It may be that someone with a more positive attitude just pays more attention to the ways in which they have successfully manifested parts of their dreams. Another person with a more negative outlook may experience the exact same things and only see where they failed to manifest what they desired. That's how bias may affect manifestation. Upward spirals of positive emotions may explain manifestation success. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson's research has also shown that the positive emotions enable us to think more creatively. Dr. Sonia Lubomirsky has shown that happiness leads to success and not the other way around. People who are generally happy and positive attract more opportunities, have better relationships, and seem to be able to manifest what they set their minds to more easily. It makes sense when you think about it, right? We prefer to be around positive, optimistic people. And being around people with a negative attitude, it's off-putting and doesn't lead us to want to help these people. So, how do we use science to manifest what we want? Number one, get clear on what you want to manifest. What do you actually want? Spend some time focusing to get clarity on your manifestation goal. Mindful meditation can be a useful tool for this. It quiets the mind and helps increase self-awareness. Or you could talk to a friend. Sometimes just talking can help you gain the clarity you need to manifest something. Number two, manifest what matters to you. When deciding what to manifest, ask yourself a few reflection questions. Will this make me happy and fulfilled? Does it feel right for me? Or is there something or someone influencing me? Will this do any harm to myself or others? By asking yourself these questions, you can choose the right things to manifest, things that you will be more likely to believe in, things that you have positive expectations about, and things that make you feel more positive. As a result, you'll be likely to manifest them. Number three, visualize your manifestation to generate positive emotions. Visualizing what you desire can help you feel positive emotions related to it more strongly. And those emotions can help you believe in yourself more. Just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and imagine a scene from your future life as you desire it. All right, let's break this down. Manifestation in a nutshell. First, manifestation isn't magic. It's not about wishing really hard and waiting for the universe to deliver your dream on a silver platter. Instead, it's about aligning your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors to move toward the life you want. Second, your mindset matters a lot. What you believe about yourself and your future can shape your motivation, your resilience, and even how you interpret setbacks. A strong, focused mindset helps you stay committed and open to opportunity. Third, action is key. You can visualize the perfect job, the dream relationship, or a peaceful life. But unless you're taking consistent steps in that direction, you're just daydreaming. Manifestation works best when your intention meets effort. And finally, positive thinking alone isn't enough. You also need clarity, self-awareness, and a willingness to grow through challenges. It's about co-creating your life with purpose, not passively hoping everything will work out. So if you've ever felt unsure about what manifestation really is, now you know. It's a blend of mindset, intention, emotion, and action. That's a pretty powerful combo. So now that we know what it really is and what it's not, let's talk about how to actually do it. Because you don't need a vision board, crystals, or a perfectly quiet meditation space to start creating change. You just need clarity, consistency, and the willingness to show up for yourself every day. So let's walk through a simple 4-step action plan to help you start manifesting with intention. Are you ready for step one? Sounds easy, but it may be the hardest step. Name it clearly. Vague goals create vague results. So instead of saying, I want a better life, get specific. Ask yourself, what does better mean to me? What do I actually want to feel, experience, or achieve? It might sound something like this. I want a career where I feel purposeful and respected, or I want to wake up with energy and peace. Your brain and the universe respond better when you're clear on the direction. Moving on to step two, align your mindset. Here's where the real rewiring begins. Think about the thoughts you're feeding your goal. Are they supportive? Doubtful? Start replacing fear-based statements like, "That'll never happen for me," with gentle but powerful truths like, "I'm learning what I need. I'm making space for this change." This isn't about being delusional. It's about training your mind to believe in new possibilities so you can start behaving in alignment with them. Step number three, consistent action. Manifestation without action is just wishful thinking. So ask yourself, what is one thing I can do this week that moves me closer to this goal? Make it manageable. One conversation, one email, one boundary, 1 hour of focused effort. And if you're stuck, work backwards. If I had already reached this goal, what habits or mindset would I have needed to get there? Then start living as if in small, doable steps. Step four, reflect and adjust. Manifestation is not a one and done. It's a living, breathing relationship with yourself. So check in regularly. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing working? Am I still aligned with what I want? Have I grown or changed since I set this goal? Adjust the plan. Reaffirm the vision. Celebrate the progress, even if it's just a mindset shift or a moment of courage. Here's the heart of it. You're always manifesting something, so you might as well make it intentional. This doesn't mean everything will work out perfectly, but when your thoughts, beliefs, and actions all point in the same direction, you become a magnet for opportunities, resilience, and meaningful change. It is so important to direct our energy towards aspects of our life within our control, like our thoughts, behaviors, and actions. So to that end, let's focus on what we can control and leave what we can't. This is by Hannah Brimey at Becoming Who You Are. Steve Marabola said, "Incredible change happens in your life when you decide to take control of what you do have power over instead of craving control what you don't." Knowing the difference between the things we can control and the things we can't is a topic that comes up frequently, both in my own self-reflection and in conversations with others. It manifests in many contexts and situations, but always comes back to a single principle. We can control our input, but we can't control the outcome. Hannah said, "I can control how I show up in my relationships, but I can't control what other people think of me. I can control how much time and effort I put into preparing for a job interview, but I can't control whether I end up getting the job. I can control how diligently I work on a piece I submit for a competition, but I can't control whether I'm placed in that competition." In all of these situations, we can influence the outcome, but we can't control it. "This was a huge learning curve for me during pregnancy earlier this year," said Hannah. "There are certain things most, if not all, pregnant people worry about: miscarriage, birth complications, the baby's health, whether baby is early or late, and so on. These are big things. They're also the things that ultimately I can't control. I can influence them, but I don't have a final say on how they turn out, and worrying about them doesn't change this. After spending a few weeks obsessing over every twinge and ache, I made a decision to focus purely on the things I have control over and to accept that for everything else, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. I discovered that while I didn't have control over many of the big things, there was a laundry list of smaller things I did have control over. What I ate, how much, if I exercised, getting enough sleep, taking supplements, general self-care, minimizing stress, educating myself, doing meditation, and so much more. Does this mean I was completely worry-free? No, but the worry was tapered by reminding myself to refocus on how I can make a difference, rather than spending precious time and energy worrying about all the areas in which I can't. Here's what I learned from this process. Focusing on what we can't control often takes our energy and attention away from what we can control. And there's the rub. Focusing on what we can't control makes us less effective and potentially leads to the outcomes we fear the most. The more time and energy we're spending on things we can't control, the less time and energy we're spending on the ways in which we can make a difference. Focusing on what we can control takes discipline. It's a practice rather than a done once, done for life scenario. It's also the difference between massive action and passive action. Floundering around worrying about all the variables and outcomes beyond our control keeps us in a state of helpless passivity. Sometimes it takes discipline to keep moving forward step by step, even when we feel vulnerable and uncertain. When we focus on what we can control, we don't worry as much about what we can't. This was an unexpected benefit of focusing solely on where I could make a difference. Once I knew I was doing as much as I reasonably could to create a healthy space for my little resident, the more at peace I felt about the variables outside of my control. Again, this didn't mean I was free from nerves or anxiety, but that input and effort gave me deeper self-trust. Here is a reflective exercise. If you're dealing with uncertainty in a particular area of your life right now, try using these questions to clarify where you have control, where you don't, and how to focus on what matters. Are you ready? Question number one. Think of an ongoing resolved situation in your life. Write a brief outline of the facts and why it feels unresolved for you. So that's a little bit of a journal exercise. Write a brief outline of the facts and why it feels unresolved for you. Number two, what can you control in this situation? So let's keep going in that vein of that same situation, the unresolved situation in your life. Make a list. What can you control in this situation? Now, you know what number three is going to be. Let's make another list. What can't you control in this situation? Number four, be honest with yourself on which of these things you're spending most of your energy and attention on right now. This can really help to look at it in black and white, written right in front of you. Number five, how can you focus more on the things you can control? What would that look like? This is giving yourself an action plan. You're writing that up for yourself, helping direct you in a different direction. How do you remind yourself to focus on the things you can control rather than the things you can't? What do you think? Give yourself some ideas around that. Let's wrap up that idea with just a quick summary, because these thoughts are some powerful reminders that we all need from time to time. So let's remember, you can't control everything. And that's actually a relief, right? The weather, someone else's reaction, the past, not yours to manage. But your choices, your responses, and your attitude, That's where your power lives. When we focus on what we can't control, we waste energy and create stress. It's like pouring effort into a locked door instead of walking through the one that's already open. Shifting focus to what is within your control brings you clarity, confidence, and peace. It doesn't mean ignoring problems. It means showing up where you can make a difference and letting go of the rest. And be sure to check in with yourself. Ask yourself, is this mine to carry? If the answer is no, gently set it down. Refocus on what's within your reach. So in a nutshell, control what you can, release what you can't. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, take a moment to reflect on an area of your life where you'd like to see change. Identify one specific goal. Visualize the outcome and outline the steps you'll take to achieve it. Embrace your role as the creator of your destiny and watch as your intentions transform into reality. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.